CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Defense Department in a farewell ceremony holding that for President Biden today. The president telling military members he was honored to lead them.
Last time as Commander-in-Chief, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the families. We owe you.
Outgoing Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin praising the president's leadership during times of turmoil overseas, from Russia's war in Ukraine to the conflict, he says, between Israel and Hamas.
He has just secured a ceasefire that will stop the fighting in Gaza, surge more humanitarian aid to suffering Palestinian civilians, and reunite the hostages with their families.
The ceasefire deal expected to go into effect Sunday. On Capitol Hill, Senate confirmation hearings continue. EPA nominee Lee Zeldin and Interior Secretary nominee Doug Burgum among those answering questions today. And the winds have eased in Southern California. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. With high respiratory illness activity throughout Wisconsin, the Department of Health Services urges you to get vaccinated against respiratory illnesses as soon as possible and reminds you it's not too late to get the protection that can help avoid serious illness this season. Flu, COVID-19, and RSV activity levels are increasing across the state and nationwide. Emergency department visits due to respiratory viruses have also increased, especially in infants, young children, and older adults. Brandi Anderson is the Richland County Public Health Nurse.
We are very vigilant about monitoring reports of diseases that are usually reported to us by labs, hospitals, clinics. And of note, recently, you know, we're aware of the increase in the RSV, COVID, flu testing, you know, and in the past year, there's been the concern about pertussis as well. And in Richland County, we're grateful to not see anything significant at this time, but we're definitely keeping an eye on the situation and we're aware of it, and we do surveillance daily and weekly for all of these illnesses.
Being up to date on vaccinations is something Richland County Public Health encourages daily.
31% of Wisconsinites have received a flu shot. Unfortunately, only about 15% have received an updated COVID vaccine this season. There is updated information, though, on the Wisconsin DHS website specific to Richland County that people can access. I think the most recent information I saw, Richland County was somewhat close to the Wisconsin average, a little bit below. So, you know, of course, we'd like to see an increase in vaccine rates. Richland County Public Health does have flu and COVID shots available for uninsured and uninsured populations. And we also have flu vaccine available for purchase or for billing certain insurances here.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Will Jair be back with the Pack? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked today, will Jair Alexander be back next season? The veteran defensive back has missed nearly half of the games the past 2 years due to injuries, yet he's due to earn $16 million this year.
We're at the beginning stages of just kind of gathering information before we start looking at next year and how we're going to lay this thing out.
NBA, the Bucks have the night off after beating the Magic 122-93. They'll host the Raptors tomorrow night. Baseball, it was simply the best. Brewers play-by-play announcer Bob Uecker has died.
And the pitch. Hit in the air to right and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here, Garrett Mitchell! He just hit a walk-off out of air! And the Brewers have swept the New York Mets!
His family says he had been battling a form of lung cancer since 2023. Bob Uecker was 90. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today and mild. High temperatures climb above freezing to the mid-30s. But it's breezy, with winds out of the northwest gusting up to 30 miles per hour. They'll switch out of the south by tonight, warming us up tomorrow to highs flirting with 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So if somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Our friend Matt Rothschild will be in the guest hosting chair next time, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and Brittany Merlot, talking owls and birds. Join them.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE.
Are we kicking them when they're up or when they're down if we start talking about some of these confirmation hearings? I'm not sure, but I'm glad I got my great co-host with me today to figure it out with each and every one of you. Welcome. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can find this fine program every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. as part of Civic Media's amazing talk show lineup. It starts early in the morning around 6 a.m. and concludes 12 hours later every day at 6 p.m. We're going to talk about these confirmation hearings in just a second with my great co-host. Want to get your input and thoughts specifically about Pete Hegseth, Pam Bondi yesterday, the stumbling bumbling of Scott Bessent today for Treasury Secretary. It was a little odd. Yeah. But a bit of breaking news, two bits of breaking news. This just coming about 17 minutes ago from the New York Times, that the Israeli cabinet is at odds over the ceasefire deal. The vote is now being pushed again to tomorrow. They continue to update us on those last minute negotiations within Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's new ruling coalition. So keep your eye on that. More news continues to develop. We'll try to bring it to you as it breaks. Also, just moments ago, the New York Times updating its coverage of the Rudy Giuliani settlement in the defamation case. Yes, I said settlement. Remember, they had taken a couple of his cars. He was begging and pleading to keep his World Series rings. Well, here is the latest update. Rudolph W. Giuliani has reached a settlement with two Georgia election workers who he repeatedly and falsely claimed had helped steal the 2020 election. In other words, Rudy Giuliani lied his tuchus off for a long time, repeatedly, yes, again and again and again, and put these and women's sued. Lives, yes, yes, in danger, and he was sued over the same.
Yep.
He had been previously ordered to pay down some $11 million of $148 million judgment he owed to the election workers, Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss. He was at risk of losing all of these personal mementos, his real estate. He's going to, again, apparently keep his New York apartment, this 10-room glitzy, fancy thing on the Upper East Side, his signed Joe DiMaggio jersey and his vintage Mercedes-Benz convertible. Of course, he declared victory, which is gross. I hope Miss Freeman and Miss Moss are getting a whole heap of money from these guys. And here's the sad truth about that settlement, Tom, and then I'd love to get your deeper reaction, is their lives have been ruined. They had to move. They've basically gone into hiding. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if this happened to you and your family, where you have to go into hiding, you have to move, you have to quit your job because you're getting harassed. You have no means of income. You can't publicly be anywhere. People are constantly threatening you. You have to move again. You have to hire personal security. And might I add, with what money? You know how much it costs to move once, let alone multiple times, try to buy personal security, not have any visible footprint, and yet maintain gainful employment? Because every employer I know wants all sorts of disruption and hubbub in their business. Rudy Giuliani ruined these people's lives, and he gets to keep his Joe DiMaggio jersey, his vintage Mercedes, and his 10-room Upper East Side Manhattan apartment. It's disgusting. He basically bankrupted these women and gets to continue to live in his style of luxury because that's how our, quote, legal system, our justice system works. It's gross.
And it's supposed to be holding people accountable because, you know, I would probably say that it isn't the money that these women are looking for. Is they just don't want it to happen again. I mean, the money's going to help, but they want Rudy Giuliani held accountable for his actions. And when you have these kinds of rulings, what it means is we're going to sort of hold you accountable, but we're not going to make it painful for you. I mean, Alex Jones, the same exact thing.
Correct.
It's like, right, just absolutely disgusting behavior, putting other people's lives at risk and ruining them. And supposedly the way to hold people accountable is somehow backtracked and backtracked and backtracked. And that's the part I don't understand.
It's supposed to work this way. Yeah, the only people who get held accountable in these right. United States are poor people and regular people. We pay top line penalties for everything that we do wrong. The Rudy Giulianis of the world never do.
Because they have great attorneys, right? They're able to hire people who are able to obfuscate. You know, and this is direct.
Delay.
I don't know if you saw this story that came out this week, but the Supreme Court basically said that it's okay for state and local climate suits to happen. So, you know, if a state or a local municipality is suing someone for climate reasons, the state Supreme Court is saying, sure, go ahead. That's fine. And I think they said it because of exactly this reason, right? There is absolutely no way that these
entities... individual could maintain a lawsuit of this type.
That's not going to happen.
Whenever somebody talks to me about tort reform, I lose my bananas. And I'm like, oh yeah, because I don't know, our federal regulatory system did such a bang 'em up job on asbestos, breast implants, tobacco, opioids, PFAS, the exploding Pintos, need I go on? That's why plaintiff's lawyers exist. But to me, and I will disagree with you slightly, that of course Ms. Moss and Ms. Freeman need the money because their lives have been ruined. And so the urgency of their need for money actually becomes a leverage point for those that sit on caboodles of money and their jewels and have all this access and power because they can just outlast them. And I'll just say this about the jurisdictions and the Supreme Court greenlighting these lawsuits. I had started the wheels turning right before I had left Milwaukee County to bring precisely exactly this type of lawsuit. And here's what it is supposed to remediate within local governmental jurisdictions. Do you have any idea how much the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, Racine, Green Bay, the entire Door County Peninsula, folks up in Rhinelander, folks that are on the Mississippi River, how much of your local tax dollars will have to be expended and have already been expended to shore up the basic infrastructure that you rely on for you and your family to get through your everyday? It is billions and billions of dollars. That infrastructure degradation made worse exponentially by the perpetuated lies of big oil over the last 25 years when they had the models that told them down to like parts per billion how this stuff was going to impact our environment.
I think it's really important to understand that when something happens and you didn't know it was going to cause a problem and then you fix it, that's different than understanding your product or what you're doing is causing great harm and death. And you continue to do it and you just throw attorneys at it and delay and delay and
vary it. Yeah. Yep. Well, the first one you described is called negligence. And under our system of torts, you're still responsible even for the unintentional harm that you didn't mean to create. You still have to fix it and remediate
it. You have to fix it and remediate it. Right.
Correct.
And, you know, but the creation of the Superfund account wasn't by accident. It's because a whole bunch of companies couldn't afford to pay for the negligence that had been created because they didn't know.
Well, in the great, this moment that we sit on or find ourselves, this precipice, right, is what many conservatives say when they're like, there's too many regulations. What they mean is we should allow the largest businesses in the world that know exactly the harm that their products are creating.
Yes.
To do whatever they want to exploit our workers, our resources, our planet, our water, our capitalistic system,
right,
to crush their opposition, increase their profit margins, keep worker wages low, prevent people from unionizing, right, all while polluting the environment and passing the check and the costs of their doing business, not in the prices of their goods. No, no. They're going to pass that cost on to you, the taxpayer.
Right.
We subsidize business eventually, through our investments, right, in infrastructure.
I mean, you, yeah, saw the stock market go up yesterday. And one of the reasons it went up is because big banks had tremendous earnings, like record earnings. And, you know, banks are now at the government trough expecting regulations to be mitigated in their favor so they can make even more money. And we will, I guarantee you, you know, Jamie Dimon won't say it, but I guarantee you we will be subsidizing the banking industry in the next 10 years in some way, shape, or form.
We have already, right? Yes. Like the bailouts following 2008. Yes. Like, as a lawyer and economist, this is the like, we have fancy words for these sorts of things that are called negative externalities. When the price of energy, like the price of coal or what you pay for a car, doesn't include the environmental degradation, right, through either a tax or, right, an excise charge, like you're not actually paying the full boat load of, right, the actual true cost of the product that you're buying. We do this all over the place. And then we got bailouts, or it's just, well, we're going to rip Social Security away from those that need it, increase, yes, the Social Security age, and not invest in the infrastructure, while all the while creating a tariff structure and increased regressive sales tax on the entire middle class.
Right, which is a terrible way to have a long-term solution for things. You know, and, yeah, that, and I'll go back to that. And we talked a little bit about this, about Jimmy Carter last week. And, yes, I think it's true of Joe Biden, is they were both long-term thinkers.
Yes.
They both were concerned about where are we going to be in the long term, not what's the short-term gain.
Well, the opposite of transactional. I owe, yeah, a higher duty that includes both my short-term political power or wealth goals, perhaps.
Yes.
But that is overridden when the long-term health, welfare, safety, and success of the middle class and the vast majority of Americans must always be first and foremost. It's been the greatest con job of the modern conservative movement to trick middle-class Americans into thinking that when rich people well, you somehow are going to get some, it's going to be better, right, for you.
Wealth trickles down.
Right. Yeah, wealth trickles up, not, yes, down.
No, no. Wealth gets pulled up.
Sucked up, right, vacuumed, sucked up.
Yes. It is
extracted,
not,
up.
It is not given. It is taken.
It's taken. Yes.
I mean, you saw it in the confirmation hearings. Who's the Treasury Secretary basically
Scott
said,
yeah, Bessent?
He's good with the minimum wage. Right. Yeah. At 7.25, that's fine. Yes.
Yeah. Scott, when have you made the minimum wage? Go buzz off. Yeah. We're going to talk about these nominees in these hearings when we come back, what it means for you and your family, with my special guest co-host this Thursday afternoon and every Thursday. His name is Tom Paulswitz. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got some sound from Pete Hegseth. It is going to be fascinating. I got Tammy Duckworth asking him some, awesome, questions. I got, yep, Alyssa Slotkin doing the same. Then we'll move on to Miss Pam Bondi, because, ugh.
Yeah.
She was better than Hegseth, but still not good.
Well,
keep it locked.
Not saying anything, yes.
Yes, very little said. We'll be right back. Keep it locked, everybody, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed.
The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson versus Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble in whenever you're around.
My heart turns. World's tumbling down. When I watch these nincompoops in these Senate hearings, I mean, what a joke.
We discuss next with my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz. He joins me every Thursday right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn, joined by Cardi. Happy birthday, Cardi.
Happy
on
birthday.
The board. You want to can never get enough of that. Birthday greetings are always so much fun. Be sure you pass along a birthday greeting to Cardi when you give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. First of all, we were talking just briefly about the Treasury Secretary appointment, Scott Bessent. His hearing was today. I don't have sound of this, but he was asked this question. If Donald Trump proposes a particular economic policy that you and your professional judgment believe will make things more expensive, will drive inflation up, will you advise the president that that policy is a bad idea? Any I'll discuss with the president and it'll be his decision was that the umming and the humming and the eyeing about it. Like, you just wait a minute. Are you telling me you can't give the president your honest professional opinion that something might not be a good idea? That's basically what that guy just said.
Yes.
Terrible.
And he's not the only one that has said it.
No kidding. That's the theme, right?
Yes.
Like, would you obey an unconstitutional order, Pete Hegseth? Probably is the answer. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Pam Bondi, I reject the insinuation that Donald Trump would give an unconstitutional. No, just let's say Joe Biden gave you an unbelievable. Let's get into some of it. Yesterday, folks, we listened to a bit of Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing, but I kind of wanted to save some of the best for this discussion, given that you are a Navy veteran, Tom. Pete Hegseth, of course, the Fox News personality who is set to become Secretary of Defense. Two women on the Senate Intelligence Committee are combat veterans, Senator Tammy Duckworth and newly minted Senator Alyssa Slotkin. Let's take a little of the sound of Tammy Duckworth interrogating Pete Hegseth yesterday. Let's go with 2A.
The highest level of international security agreement that you have led, and can you name some that the Secretary of Defense would lead? There's three main ones. Do you know?
I have not been involved in international security arrangements because I have not been in government other than serving in the military. So my job has been to
The answer is, can you name one of the three main ones that the Secretary of Defense
signed? Talking about defense arrangements, I mean, NATO might be one of one that you're referring to.
Status of Forces Agreement would be one of them.
Status of Forces Agreement. I've been a part of teaching about status of forces agreements.
But you don't remember to mention it? You're not qualified, Mr. Hegseth.
Ouch. She's asking him very specific subject matter questions about the actual job of the Secretary of Defense. Let's take the second cut, and then I want to get your reaction. This is 2B.
Name the importance of at least one of the nations in the ASEAN, in ASEAN, and what type of agreement we have with at least one of those nations. And how many nations are in ASEAN, by the way?
I couldn't tell you the exact amount of nations in that, but I know we have allies in South Korea and Japan and in AUKUS with Australia, trying to work on submarines with them.
Mr. Hegseth, none of those countries are in ASEAN. None of those three countries that you've mentioned are in ASEAN. I suggest you do a little homework before you prepare for these types of negotiations.
Ouch. I have to admit, I didn't know of the nations that were part of ASEAN. But I'm also not trying to be the Secretary of Defense, am I?
Yes, that is the key. Like, not knowing things. I mean, there's a whole bunch. I couldn't answer that question, but I'm also not applying for that position. And it's so ridiculous to think that someone would walk into a room and open themselves up to these types of questions without at least doing any kind of prep work, just knowing that, hey, I've got a face made for TV. I'm going to be a great Secretary of Defense. And it's disappointing, but it's also dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And I have to tell you, you know, I wasn't working at the highest levels of government in our nation, right? But I will just tell you all, if you've been listening to me, most of you will know that I spent over the last 7 years of my career as the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County. To say that I prepared for any hearing, to say that I read everything available to me when particularly critical issues were being debated is an understatement. I worked all the time to ensure that I was a knowledgeable, objective, independent source of expert level guidance. And certainly if I was about to face off against a room full of senators on the Intelligence Committee to be Secretary of Defense, I would do my freaking homework and study up. Like, what in God's green is this guy's, like, are you this intellectually lazy? Do you think just trotting out your anti-DEI talking points?
I think it's worse, Maggie. I think that he thinks he can do the job by learning on the fly. That's what he is not alone when it comes to the other nominees, you know. And one of the things that struck me about yesterday is the senators were so happy to talk to Marco Rubio.
Yeah, like the relief.
They were thrilled.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. We actually have somebody who sort of knows what they're doing. So there's a conversation.
There's an actual name for this stuff, everybody. And it's not just the Peter principle where you rise to, like, sort of everybody will likely be promoted to the highest level of their incompetence. Like, you'll get to the job where you really don't have any business being, which I don't actually think is always a thing. But I do believe in this effect that has been described in the last 20 years called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is a thing where in very particular areas of high technical skill, like applied knowledge, that the less somebody knows about it, the less able they are to identify their technical skill deficiencies. And the better you are at it, the more likely you are to underestimate your level of skill. And it's like every single one of these is like a walking, living, breathing example of the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Right. And it's funny when other people do it, like, you know, the commercial of, hey, I watched a medical show last night. Sure, I'll operate. You know, I think I have the ability to do that. But when it comes to actually running these positions, but to me, this is going into the level of they're going to double down on the incompetence.
And hope no one notices.
Yes.
Everyone's noticing. We will actually take more of the Hegseth hearing sound. I want everybody to listen to Senator Alyssa Slotkin question Mr. Hegseth. It is worthy of your time. It portends much for you and your family's safety in this coming 4 years. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Wintertime brings about a lot of fun activities that you don't get to do in the summer, like ice fishing, snowmobiling, and even ice skating. But it can also be dangerous. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Jake Holsklaw, the Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator with the DNR, is here to explain what to do if you're out on the ice and happen to fall through.
Don't panic, but try to calm down, try to slow your breathing a little bit, and then orient yourself back toward the direction that you broke through. The idea is that if that ice held you to the point before you broke through, it may at least hold you as you're trying to get back out of that break in that open water. So try to navigate back toward that location. Just kind of keep laying on the ice, spread your body weight out, crawl or slide off that ice, and try to get yourself to a safe location.
Holsklaw says that hypothermia can take effect in a matter of minutes when you fall through the ice into the cold water. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com or by finding it on your app store. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center has announced that they will be hosting a food drive on Monday, January 20th, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This drive will be helping the organization Feeding America, Eastern Wisconsin. Also, the Wisconsin Pork Association will be offering rebates if you take in your swine to test for porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome and porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today and mild. High temperatures climb above freezing to the mid-30s. But it's breezy, with winds out of the northwest gusting up to 30 miles per hour. They'll switch out of the south by tonight, warming us up tomorrow to highs flirting with 40. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this past and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
We're at a turning point, but I don't think the outcomes are all that unpredictable, are they? I'm Maggie Dawn.
I
you're
don't
listening,
think so.
Right? You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined by a special guest co-host every Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswith. For Congress twice. He owns a small business, and he's a Navy veteran and an all-around reasonable and very nice man. We are talking about the confirmation hearings. Especially those of Pete Hegseth and Pam Bondi. I think Bondi was better than Hegseth. Hegseth was so dripping with contempt. She was just so avoidant of the actual questions.
I personally think that's worse. It's like, you know, Pete Hegseth was willing to just say, look, this is the way I think it should be, and you either agree with me or don't. Pam Bondi was like, I'm just not going to tell you anything about anything. What I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You're going to find out when we do whatever we do.
I have such a visceral reaction to the contemptuousness.
Yes.
Because both as a lawyer and as someone that has testified before countless governmental committees and legislative oversight bodies, I have always acted with a deep, deep reverence and respect for those that have questioned me. When a judge starts talking, I stop talking. When a legislator started asking me a question or would interrupt me, I would stop talking. And the only exception to that rule is if they were impugning my professional integrity in some way, right?
Yes.
And that's when I would say, all right, well, now we're going to have a little tete-a-tete. In all other circumstances, I was extraordinarily deferential. I could think their question was dumb, off base, totally lame, but my attitude was one of deference to the function, the office that they held, if not the individual. What I find, so I have this, like, there's a part of me that Pete's tone, also as a man, sort of pulling that off as he derides Senators Duckworth as well as Slotkin, that just sticks in my craw in a way that Pam Bondi's performance didn't.
And the way he speaks to women.
Yes. About them, to them.
To them. Right. It is like, he had the gall to say that he would treat people fairly no matter who they are, sex, gender, color, race, doesn't matter. Right. And then you can see it in his answers and his, but this is, you know, this is an extension. This is like the right arm of Donald Trump, right? It comes straight from the way Donald Trump thinks about how to project power. And that's why he was picked.
Yeah, it's I've heard from two of our texters now, and I just want a hat tip to our conservatives that do text in or call. Mark from Sussex, as well as, where did my other friend go? I think Mark from Sussex recently saying the questions that were asked of Pete Hegseth about his very checkered personal past, like, have you sexually assaulted someone? Have you entered into a settlement where you sexually assaulted someone? The characterization I'm getting is petty. By the way, Senator Hirono asks those questions of every nominee. So check yourself on that, Mark. She asks that of every nominee, and it's gosh darn damn well time that every nominee gets asked questions about that.
Yes.
Given the epidemic of violence against women in this country. But probing someone's character, their drunkenness, their past personal behavior that draws into question both their judgment and character, especially given that he allegedly did many of these things in the course of social outings involving his work.
Yes.
Is not petty.
And
it's
more importantly,
relevant.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. It's
right?
Not, and like this was 20
right,
years
wasn't
ago.
Ancient history. And I think one of the opportunities that the Democrats missed was to ask him what he's actually done as a
to
person,
make amends for that behavior.
To not even make amends, but change himself. Like, what has he actually worked on because all he's done is promise to stop drinking. And that's not, I've already done things. This is, I haven't taken any steps.
Well, you know what the answer to that would be?
Well, I already know, but I would like it on record.
By the Lord God, Jesus Christ, my Savior. And which is like, I believe in the genuineness. Like, I'm not going to question someone's genuine faith expression, but it's like, that's great. So you prayed on it. What else? What are the concrete actions?
What else did you do? Right. Because this is not ancient history. This is 2017 and after. So.
So we're going to go to the phones in just a second. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But I want to take this longer cut from Senator Slotkin and Mark from Sussex. This one's for you, because what she is asking him about wasn't in this category of petty things that you objected to. We need to listen to all of this. And this is going to run just probably under four minutes. So we're going to take 3A and then 3B right away, Cardi. So let's run both of those back to back.
Secretary of Defense, you will be the one man standing in the breach should President Trump give an illegal order, right? I'm not saying he will, but if he does, you are going to be the guy that he calls to implement this order. Do you agree that there are some orders that can be given by the commander in chief that would violate the U.S. Constitution?
Senator, thank you for your service. But I reject the premise that President Trump is going to be giving illegal orders.
No, I'm not saying he will. But if do you believe there is such a thing as an illegal order that Joe Biden or any other president, Donald Trump, could give? Is there anything that a commander in chief could ask you to do with the uniformed military that would be in violation of the U.S. Constitution?
Senator, anybody of any party could give an order that is against the Constitution or against the law.
Right. Okay. So, and are you saying that you would stand in the breach and push back if you were given an illegal order?
I start by saying I reject the premise that President Trump will be giving any illegal orders at all.
My, this isn't a hypothetical, okay? Your predecessor in a Trump administration, Secretary Esper, was asked and did use uniformed military to clear unarmed protesters. He was given the order to potentially shoot at them. Helos flew low in Washington, D.C. as crowd control. He later apologized publicly for those actions. Was he right or wrong to apologize?
Senator, I was there on the ground. I
understand,
the
and I respect that.
I've been there.
But you're about to be the Secretary of Defense.
That was involved in that moment. I
was
also
he right to, so he was
legality was he, and the Constitution.
Sir, was he right or wrong to apologize?
I'm not going to put words in the mouth of Secretary Esper or anybody else.
No, he said them himself. You don't have to. What are you scared of? Did he do the right thing by apologizing?
I'm not scared of anything, Senator.
Then say
I'm
yes or no. You can say no.
The laws and the Constitution.
Okay.
In any
so
particular
Donald
scenario.
Trump asked for the active duty 82nd Airborne to be deployed during that same time. Secretary Esper has written that he convinced him against that decision. If Donald Trump asked you to use the 82nd Airborne in law enforcement roles in Washington, D.C., would you also convince him otherwise?
I'm not going to get ahead of conversations I would have with the president. However, there are laws and processes inside our Constitution that would be foul.
President Trump said in November that he is willing to consider using the active duty military against the, quote, enemy within. Have you been personally involved in discussions of using the U.S. military active duty inside the United States?
Senator, I'm fine. I'm glad we finally got to the topic of border security equaling national security, because it's been abdicated and ignored for the last 4 years.
That wasn't my question. I'm just asking, have you been involved? You're about to be the Secretary of Defense, potentially. Have you been involved in discussions about using the active duty military inside the United States?
Senator, I am not yet the Secretary of Defense.
Right. I'm
if
just
confirmed,
asking.
I would be party to any number of
so
conversations.
So you haven't been in any of these
which
conversations?
Which I would not reveal what I have discussed with the President of the United States.
No, just have you been in conversations? You're going to be in charge of 3 million people, the active duty that I know you care about, I believe you care about. So have you been in conversations about using the active duty in any way, whether it's setting up in detention camps, policing dangerous cities? Have you been involved in any of those conversations?
Certainly, I have been involved in conversations relating to doing things this administration has not, which is secure the southern border and not allow floods of illegal to enter our country through an invasion that threatens the American people.
Okay.
And there are ways in which the military is already playing a role in that, to include 5,000 National Guardsmen from
U.S.
We're at the border right now, allowing for border
will
security.
So there is plenty of precedent duty military for military to members staff detention centers. Our U.S. military is not trained in law enforcement roles.
It goes on.
Oh, it's on. Yes.
And her point is pretty basic.
Yes.
And that is, there has been always an absolute bright line that most modern secretaries of defense understand is the bright line. You do not deploy active duty military against U.S. citizens. You do not place them into the role of law enforcement. That is not the role. That is not petty. Those are Mark from Sussex saying, great answer, Pete. She's not talking about border security, which would not be deploying the military against actual American citizens. She is talking about deploying the military against protesters.
Yes.
So no,
or the enemy from within.
The press, me, yes. Tom Paulsiewicz, the Civic Media Building headquarters,
yes.
Mark from Sussex, other conservatives. You can applaud the line about the border, but he leaves unanswered the question that should be on the forefront of your mind, Mark from Sussex, and every American's. Who decides who is the enemy from within? Because that can change from administration to administration. But the standard that political disagreement and the expression of political disagreement cannot be met with military force by active duty members of the military is sacrosanct. That's what she was asking him, and that is what he refused to answer. Not petty and not about the southern border. Tom, your other reactions.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear him go on and say he rejects the premise of the question when she actually defined the question very well. This wasn't about Donald Trump. This wasn't about Joe Biden. This was any president. And he still refused to answer. And more importantly, he refused to answer whether he's had any talks with the incoming president about this particular subject, which leads me to believe he already has.
Yes. Obviously, non-answers to a gamut of questions indicated yes answers. Folks, we're going to go to the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Rich from Waukesha, welcome to the show. What do you have to say, sir? Thanks for your patience.
I did some research. I know it's just library stuff through the years. With Rudy Giuliani, are you familiar with a movie called Rob the Mob?
I'm not. Tell me more.
I got it out of the library, and it's done around 2017. It was released, roughly.
Okay.
And it's a story that goes on during the trial of John Gotti in New York. And this individual, it's a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde, where this individual and this woman start robbing the mob.
Mob. Is there going to be some iteration of that in the Trump administration? Who knows? Who's the mob? Who's Bonnie and Clyde? All to be determined. Let's see. Eric from Madison, we're going to take your call. Right? Do we have time? I think we might have just enough time. You got about a minute, Eric from Madison. Take your crack at it, sir.
That's too short. Hi, Maggie and co-host. The Swedish guy from Sussex said, oh, Trump can choose whoever he wants. I'm Swedish, by the way, and I have enough common sense to know that the Senate has oversight, he can't just install people.
Yeah, that's the point. This argument was made yesterday. I said, no, presidents don't have a right to appoint whomever they want. It's with the advice and consent of the Senate. That's the balance of powers. We're going to continue this discussion. Eric, if you have more to say, hang on the lines. You want to join this great discussion, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll take some of that Pam Bondi sound, get more of your reactions after these brief messages. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Native American voters prevailed in federal court against the state of North Dakota, protecting the ability to elect the candidate of their choice. January 13th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a redistricting case we covered back in May 2024, affirming a North Dakota federal appeals court decision. The appeals court had dismissed a state house district challenge by two non-native residents who claimed their rights were infringed. The case dates back to 2021 when the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state to protect native voting power under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022, embracing a new GOP tactic which argues such majority-minority districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause under the U.S. Constitution. The same argument has been made in Robinson v. Calais over Louisiana's now two majority-minority districts. The MHA Nation decision protects North Dakota State House District 4A and three other districts. Great news for Native voters. But the Louisiana case is expected to be heard in the High Court in early 2025, and the conservative justices seem to have made it their mission to dismantle the VRA. We have links to the history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Challenge what the future holds, you know? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the Hegseth and Bondi confirmation hearings. Let's get right into some of the Pam Bondi sound with Tom Paulswitz as my special guest co-host, because it's cringy, I guess, would be a word.
It's a good word.
Let's just kick it right off. This is Senator Dick Durbin, longtime senator out of Illinois, asking Ms. Bondi some questions. We're going to go 4C, 4D, 4E right in a row.
Have you heard the recording of President Trump on January 2nd, 2021, when he urged the Secretary of State of Georgia to, quote, find 11,780 votes and declare him the winner of that state?
No, I've heard about it through clips, but no, Senator, I heard it.
Your reaction to President Trump making that call?
I would have to listen to the tape, Senator.
As a former prosecutor, are you not concerned that the President of the United States called a state election official and asked him to find enough votes to change the results of the election?
Senator, I have not listened to the hour-long conversation, but it's my understanding that is not what he asked him to do.
Yes, he did. Like, for this is, again, a preparation thing. Like, please, yes. Are you legit trying to tell the American people that you haven't heard this call or the operative 6 seconds of the call where he's like, all I need is, like, the extra 8,000, whatever it was? Like, this
but
is
Maggie,
ridiculous.
But Maggie, as an attorney, wouldn't you advise somebody to not listen to the information so they can actually answer the question exactly the way that she did, honestly?
Of course I would, but yes. Of course she heard it. There's no way to not hear it. Everyone in the country heard
Everyone
what
heard
that
it.
Was.
But maybe at some point she said, I may have to testify. I'm going to not listen to this.
La, 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 la. Exactly. I mean, that's what it's like a little kid, like, I'm not hearing you. Yes. I'm not hearing you. Yeah. Okay. Almost as ridiculous. Yeah. Here is Senator Coons from Delaware. Notice that Pam Bondi apparently has a magic eight ball and is now a fortune teller. Let's take a listen to this cut.
Or that he might interfere with prosecution. What would you do
if your career DOJ prosecutors came to you with a case to prosecute, grounded in the facts and law, but the White House directs you to drop the case?
Senator, if I thought that would happen, I would not be sitting here today. That will not happen. Will not happen. Every case will be prosecuted based on the facts and the law that is applied in good faith. Period. Politics have got to be taken out of the system.
I agree with you.
This department has been weaponized for years and years and years.
We can wrap that. Like, no, Pam, are we really supposed to trust that? Like, can we believe what these nominees are saying in these hearings? I'm not sure we can.
No, we can't. And I love the way at the end she says years and years and years, forgetting that Donald Trump was the president.
Wasn't he president for 4 years?
Right. Ouch. It's like, we're just supposed to. Yeah, nobody remembers that. So, yeah, but this is, I mean, it's these statements. And that's why I said I think her testimony was even more damning than Pete Hegseth's. It's like
she was less of a jerk. OK, like
but with a straight face.
Yes.
Straight up either lying or pretending not to know the actual, you know, depth of the question and understanding what people were actually trying to ask.
Let's see if we can get one more caller in. Phil from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thanks for joining the show. What say you, my friend?
Well, I'm a semi-retired handyman, and I have done a lot of job interviews for jobs that I knew if I said something definitely not true, I probably get a form rejection letter in the mail within a week or so. And as far as Mr. Hegseth is concerned, his whole testimony would have put him on the "we'll give you a call when we feel like talking to you" response. I mean, yes. I can't believe anybody hearing even one of those questions and responses would think this guy has a chance of being an actual honest employee of the federal government in any role. If I was making, if I applied for a job for $20 an hour and I responded the way he did, I know I would not get that job. It doesn't matter if I was the only person applying for it, I wouldn't get that job.
That
I mean,
is
that's
so
just
true.
Crazy.
Yeah. And that's the point. There's nothing about these hearings or the manner in which these individuals conducted themselves in these hearings that give you any confidence that they mean or believe what they're saying. I think Pete Hegseth believes some of what he's saying, but that they're actually telling the truth about the most difficult and complex questions they're asked.
Yeah.
Tom, final thoughts before we wrap it up for today.
Well, I'll say one more thing for all these nominees, you know, based on Donald Trump's track record, they will last less than 2 years. So whatever damage they're going to do, they're going to get done early. I think 2 years from now, we'll know what's going on. There'll be another election. I'm cringing, you know, and Cardi, I hate to say it, but this is probably your last birthday, you know, not being on the most wanted list or the, you know, so I go out and enjoy tonight.
Welcome to Civic, Cardi.
Because you're going to be on the list as of Monday, right? So happy Thursday. This is your last free Thursday. So, but I think big picture wise, you know, it is, like I said before, this is the opposite of DEI. This is finding people who have the look and feel of what you're looking for, but have no gravitas and have no credibility to do the job.
Yeah, folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. He joins me as a special guest co-host every Wednesday on this, The Maggie Dawn Show. Bill from Waukesha says, happy birthday, Cardi. Cam from Appleton, thank you for participating on the text lines. I always enjoy reading what you got to share. Stephen from Exonia saying, of course, maybe she didn't listen to the call, but she definitely read that transcript. Couldn't agree with you more, Stephen. That's going to do it for me, folks. I got a special pre-recorded episode for you tomorrow because we got a big hoo-ha meeting here at Civic Media talking about our plan for 2025. And we got Dom Salvia coming up next for the Dom Salvia Show. He's my little buddy and yours. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for competence, credibility, truth-telling, and all those good old-fashioned American ideals. Take care, everybody.
News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will discuss the status of the president-elect's nominees. Plus, is anyone besides Michelle Obama skipping the inauguration? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the Justice Department, Attorney General Merrick Garland thanking DOJ staffers and commended them for their hard work on the January 6th investigation stemming from the Capitol riots.
You brought to justice those who kicked, punched, beat, and tased law enforcement officers who were protecting the Capitol that day. And you pursued accountability for that attack on our democracy wherever it led.
Merrick pushing back on criticism that the DOJ has been weaponized. Israel's prime minister expected to present the Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal tomorrow to his government for approval. It's set to be implemented on Sunday. Winds in Southern California easing today, helping fire crews as they battle to contain last week's deadly wildfires. Film and TV director David Lynch has died. He's known for the series Twin Peaks, along with the movie Blue Velvet and Mulholland Drive. David Lynch was 78. This is ABC News.
You can always